Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mindful Chef, Chef Leisha Barnett today. And I have a everybody say hello to Samantha Elizabeth. Hey.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing today, Samantha?
Oh, my goodness. I am so well. I definitely cannot complain. I'm so grateful to not have rain for at least a couple of days, even though it's cold out. Glad to see some sun.
Well, we have rain in my area today. It started yesterday, and it was much needed. We have been no rain. It was dry all February. So it's cold. It's rainy. I'm not complaining. I'm a little cold, but I'm not going to complain.
Right.
Because we need it. So thank you so much for coming and joining me on the show today. Everybody, I just wanted to tell you that Samantha Elizabeth is somebody that I met and was stationed with when I was in the Navy, and we recently reconnected as we are planning a fantastic reunion in Vegas.
And, yes, indeed.
I can't wait. We are going later this year, so thankfully COVID-19 will not be a thing that is going to hinder our trip, right?
Right, and that's what I'm hoping for. The coronavirus definitely has gotten the world in an uproar and very concerned.
As we should be, but I'm grateful that we can stay positive, keeping a positive mindset and doing what we can do to move forward through this time, because it is stressful
right.
for a lot of folks.
It really is, because no matter what the outcome is, it's really important to keep a peaceful mindset and just trust that this is something that's supposed to happen.
Amen to that. I'm telling mm-hmm. you, sometimes when things get out of our hands and it's at this level, we don't know where we're
right.
going to go and how it's going to work out, but things have a way of working out. So that is what I am really keeping my mind focused on, because there's so many messages out there that can disrupt that if we allow
yep.
it.
Yes, indeed. Very true.
Yeah, we don't want the disruption. So I'm going to ask you three questions, Samantha, the infamous three questions I ask everybody who comes on my podcast, because I'm all about food. What is your favorite
yes.
thing to eat?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, if it's healthy stuff, my favorite thing to eat would probably be Greek salad.
Oh, I love a good Greek salad. Yes.
I eat Greek salad at least 5 times a week.
You gotta be kidding me. Really?
No, it's, well, because the Mediterranean diet is such a big portion of my intake that Greek salad is always my go-to, because it's so easy and it's so freaking delicious.
It has all the layers and things that you want. There's a Greek place around the corner mm-hmm. from my house, and they do some really great food. But I love how you get your salty from the olives and the creamy from the feta and, oh yeah, the tomatoes, everything. It's just so
it's
good.
Yummy.
Okay, so what is your favorite thing to cook?
I actually, oh man, there's so many things. I really enjoy cooking sea bass. With some lentils, but I turn the lentils into, I cream them, or I put them in the blender and I cream them, and I just, I put the fish over the lentils, and it's really, really good. And then I really enjoy salads and making my own salad dressing as well.
Ooh. Okay. So what do you do for your favorite salad dressing? How do you make it?
Oh my gosh. My favorite salad dressing is avocado based, and it has it's made with avocados, almond milk, lime, cilantro, and serranos.
Ooh.
And it just blended up. It's super delicious and pretty spicy.
That sounds amazing. Like, I really want that right now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't so cold, I'd be eating salad too, but I'm ready for salad season. I feel like it's time. We've had a long one. Okay,
yeah.
So The third thing I like to ask people is about their upbringing, their childhood, and food. Like, what was your favorite thing to make or eat when you were a kid? What was the food that defined you as a child?
Wow, that's really cool. That's a really cool question. The food that I think defined me was probably pot pies and stir fry. That was just like a big staple in our household because they were easy to make because both of my parents worked a lot. And the stuff that I enjoyed making was when I learned how to start cooking for myself and baking. And I started learning how to make things like brownies and cookies. That was where I felt like I found some freedom.
Yes, I know I was one of baking. It was the baking. That's where I started in the kitchen. It was literally with brownies, cookies, cakes, and pies before it migrated into other foods. Yeah. Oh,
It's
those
good. I mean,
memories.
they're really good memories because you have something super. It's something super amazing that you put together, and even at the first times of your life, and you're so young, and it's just a big stepping stone.
It is. I'm a huge proponent of getting children in the kitchen at young ages so that they will, be encouraged
Get
and
familiar.
want, yeah, and want to keep going. So yeah, mostly. And in my household, it was like the boxed mixes and things like that. I learned how to read recipes by using like those items that I don't keep too much of them in the house anymore because it's a different time. But it proves effective, right? You learn
I
how to
used to
use the
have
measuring
folders filled
cup.
with recipes. And well, I do use all my measuring cups. I still have to measure everything. I'm not good at gauging it yet.
Well, I think with baking, you have to measure, even when you're really good at it. Like there, if you don't, I'm telling you, I'm the savory chef, so I don't bake as much. I have a few things that I do make, but when it comes to like making cookies, cakes, and other types of things, like if I don't measure, they don't come out right.
It's you got it takes a really skilled person to not be able to measure.
I have yet to meet a baker who doesn't measure. Like for real. If I do meet somebody that's like somebody's grandmother and she's been baking since she was like four.
She go, she go, you just need this much. You only need this much.
A
And
little
you're like, well, how
pinch.
much is it? Well, it's this
It's just a pinch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a skill that I have not acquired. But I do it with food, with savory foods when I'm cooking, but not with baking. I can't. I messed up too many times to try and go there. So it's a different time now too. Like my kids, they pull recipes off the internet and everything, and they'll say, "I want to make this," and then I get the ingredients for them, and they go and have a good time. So that's a resource that we didn't have when we were growing up. We had like the Betty Crocker cookbooks and The Joy of Cooking, and there was only one in my house growing up. So my mother, she cooked everything from the heart. So that's how I got down.
I learned cooking from kind of all over the place. I learned cooking from a little bit from my mother, a little bit from my father, and then a whole lot of it once I moved to Louisiana. It just like opened my door. I was like, oh, I can do so much more now.
Wow, tell me
There's
about Louisiana. I've been twice and now it's like one of my favorite places on earth.
Yeah, that was the first, even though I didn't live there for very long, just a few years, I still felt like that was my home. And now that I've lived so many other places, I have several homes. But Louisiana was the first place that I felt was like home to me. And there were so many things that I learned how to cook, and my kids haven't been living with me for almost 2 years now, and they're like, Mommy, I really want you to make all the good things that you used to make when we come and visit you. So, I pick up a lot of cool things. I love gumbo. I'm not gonna kid. I love gumbo. I love my beans and rice. Except I don't make red beans. I make white beans. Cornbread, chitlin cornbread. Oh
Wait a
yeah,
minute, wait a
so good.
minute, pause. Chitlin cornbread?
Yes,
I've
chitlin
never
cornbread.
heard of this. Please elaborate
Yes,
on what
yes.
chitlin cornbread is.
Okay, so chitlins or chitterlings, whatever you want to call them for, depending on where you're from. Chitlins are, think of pork rinds, think of chicharrones, but they're the, it's more of the, it's the harder part. They're crunchier. They'll kind of break your teeth if you're not careful when you eat them. And so they're the skin of the pig that's been fried a couple of times, but not as much as it fluffs up like it would a pork rind. It stays more dense and more crisp. And because of that, they turn into this weird texture when you put it in cornbread. So, like, you know how some people will put corn or jalapenos or cheese
Yes,
or something like
yes.
that in their cornbread? Well, my Aunt Joanne would send me to the store and pick up a bag of chitlins and put that in the cornbread. I'm like, well, damn, this is something kind of great. What the
So
heck?
wait a minute. I'm so like my mind is blown right now. First of all, they have like bags of fried chitlins in the store in Louisiana to put in your cornbread.
Yes, because people
What?
eat them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So,
They
okay, I
call
have
them, and
to.
some places call them cracklins. But
Yes, but
some
here in
people's cracklins are
California.
just pork rinds. And so
Right.
you have to know what you're looking at.
Wow. I'm not a fan of chitlins, I have to say. But if it's done that way, I probably would have
Yeah,
seen
because
it.
then they're literally soft and squishy and they're gelatinous. It's really weird and amazing at the same time. And I thought that was the coolest thing I had ever experienced because I love textures. I love those weird gelatinous
Yeah,
textures.
with the chitlins though, like in a bowl by itself. I tried it as an adult because my mother didn't eat them. My dad did.
Like a
Grew up eating
snack,
them.
right? You tried to snack on them, but that's like the everlasting
No, I
gobstopper.
well it was at Thanksgiving or something like that, and my in-laws were hosting, and they eat chitlins all the time, and we go over there, and it was like, come on, Lisa, just try it. Like, this is your first time. Like, you might as well try it. And I was like, okay. And I got a little on the fork, and I gotta tell you, like, as I was getting closer to my nose, I was like, I can't do this. But I fully committed to tasting the chitlin, right? And I put it in my mouth, and I was like, oh God. And for me, it was not, the texture was not off-putting. It was literally the smell. And I mean, yeah, it smelled like spices and everything, but it still smelled like chitlins. And that was just not, when your nose is connected, the olfactory response and your mouth and all of that. So I couldn't do it because of the smell. So that's the thing, because people are like, well, you eat oysters. Yeah, but oysters don't smell like chitlins.
No, that's true. That because it definitely chitlins actually have a really deep pork flavor smell. I mean, deep pork flavor smell. And if you're, I mean, and it's skin too, so it's cooking skin, and so
It
it's a
smells
totally
like
different.
boo-boo.
It smells like pig.
Well, so you're
I
saying
mean,
skin, but chitlins are like the intestines. So that's
oh,
different
right,
than
there you go.
the.
Sorry.
Yeah. It smells like poop to me. I mean, I don't care how much celery and onions and hot sauce you put on it. It's just the smell does not quite
Yeah.
mask it. But I'm thinking if it was fried like chicharrones and, pork skins,
Yeah.
that are in the bag, that would kind of change things for me. But I don't know about, yeah. So you just the like the cornbread thing just threw me for a huge loop. I've never heard of chitlin cornbread, and now I'm probably going to go on this rabbit hole on Google and look up chitlin cornbread just because I need to see what this is all about. But New Orleans does have some fantastic food. I really enjoyed it there. The gumbo, like, I'd make a decent gumbo. It's okay, but I'm not from New Orleans, so I don't even like to really tell people that, yeah, I'm about to tear this gumbo up, because there's no way anybody's going to eat it and be like, yeah, that's New Orleans gumbo. No, this is California grain gumbo.
Yeah, because it's hard to, it's actually what I find, I actually have to import my sausage. I get special sausage shipped in from Louisiana whenever I make gumbo, or else I don't make gumbo, because the sausage that's made everywhere else doesn't, it's not the right sausage, and it's not andouille sausage, because I'm not a fan of andouille sausage. It's just a specific seasoning.
It's the way they do it's the way they do it. They have it down pat.
I'm so blessed that I found a company that like overnights sausage that I really love very much.
Well, I'm probably gonna need that information, please, thank you.
it makes a complete difference in flavor of your entire gumbo.
Well, I know.
I mean, you take hours for your roux.
Yes, the roux takes forever. It does, but it's worth
low
it.
Low and slow. Yes,
but when it comes down to the sausage, I'm always conflicted over the sausage choice when I'm making gumbo. It's like,
you have to know the brand of sausage and find out how the heck you can have it imported into your mailbox, because it makes all the difference in the world. And if you don't have the right sausage, it's not the right gumbo.
Yeah, this is true. Now, I do know some local folks who make really decent gumbo, and I have relatives who make it, and I really like all the variations of gumbo there.
Yes,
there's so many, right? About one type, and then that's it. But there's so many variations, and I enjoy them all so much. I'm just a soup girl. I really enjoy soup and stew.
Yeah. It'd be great to see a gumbo cook-off somewhere here on the West Coast, you know?
Hey, I might have to that put would be that great. Together, Samantha. Listen.
That would be great.
Don't get my mind going. Next thing you know, they're going to go, what is Lisa doing? Hosting a gumbo cook-off. Not the best gumbo in California. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's an excellent idea. You just gave me something there.
Well, because there are so many, you gave me the idea, and then all of a sudden I see all these pots, humongous pots of gumbo, like in a buffet, and people handing out samples, and I'm like, oh, we should like do a contest.
Oh my goodness, this needs to happen. It really does. So I have to, because it can only happen at a certain time of year, because those of us who love crab know that Dungeness crab is really, you only get it a certain time of year, otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise it's frozen.
Yeah, and we want the fresh crab that we have to, like, handle ourselves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you got me hungry. I need lunch. let's take a quick break and switch gears when we come back. We're going to, the gumbo, now I'm really, really hungry, but we're going to take a quick break and come back, all right?
All right. We'll see ya.
Hey, y'all. We are back. Welcome back to the Mindful Chef. Thanks for taking that quick break with me. And I am back with Samantha Elizabeth. If you listen to the first segment, you know, we were talking about gumbo, and now I want lunch.
Yes.
But we're going to switch gears a little bit, because this is the Mindful Chef, and we always talk about health and wellness along with anything else that we discuss, this particularly because it's all connected. And one of the things that I really like about Samantha, you guys, is that she is this extremely mindful person. Like when we first started talking and getting into these conversations, I just felt like I felt her spirit, you know, and her mind, and just a super positive individual. So when I was looking for a guest to be on the show, I definitely wanted her to be on because I like the way, you know, here she is talking about the best sausage for gumbo, but she's also like hella mindful. So that's something that is super important to me, to showcase real people in real time with real lives and balancing it all. You know, I talk a lot about balance, particularly when I'm on by myself, and how I navigate the world, you know, with my balancing act, you know, dealing with injuries and illnesses and staying rooted in faith and not succumbing to diet culture. So many things. But Samantha, I want you to kind of like talk a little bit about where you are with your mindful practice as far as how you move through the day, and how, you know, how do you stay rooted and grounded, you know, through life's adversities? Because we're in the middle of some real serious crises, and there are things behind the scenes that are happening individually, and yet you're still so positive.
So I have a beautiful meditation process that I am very I'm committed to my meditating, and in that meditation process I am able to calm my mind down, so that when these adverse things happen in my life, I can take a step back and remember that this is all going to work out. Everything is okay. There's something bigger at play. And then of course, like if something was actually in my face with, let's just say with this coronavirus that we have going around, I know that number one, if for some reason I contract this illness, and number two, if I die, that it's all meant to be that way. And I can die peacefully. I can die in harmony with whatever it is that I've done with my life thus far. And so really what everybody's running around and being afraid of certain aspects of what this is doing to their world, I am perfectly fine with whatever comes out, whatever that result will be. And I understand that people will pass away, but people will die. And it's being a little more highlighted these days, because we have whole fucking cities being shut down,
right.
And so even and this is what's beautiful, is my beautiful sisters and brothers in Europe are taking it with high positive manner. They're not just sitting at home and boo-hooing. They're getting outside and they're doing group exercises. They're getting out there with aerobics instructors on the roofs and doing exercise programs on their own. They're getting outside and getting orchestrated. They're literally grabbing their musical instruments and creating orchestrated events in their balcony.
I saw the video footage of both of those. What inspired me to go for a walk this morning, despite the fact that there was a really good chance I was going to get rained on. I saw a break in the clouds and I had 40 minutes, and I left out the front door and the fresh air, the smells, everything around me of what, you know, my toes getting a little wet. It just made me feel and alive and grounded the source, and that shook off the morning, the Monday morning. I watched the news and I knew I should not have moved. So I could just imagine what that would be like you're with, to see those things happening. And having lived there is an amazing place to be, first of all, anyway, right?
Yes, it's magical.
It is magical in here. But at the same time, like, you're just watching and you're knowing that, you know, these people are still frustrated. They're scared. They don't know what's happening and the world is changing around them. But they're like, screw it. I'm just going to play this tambourine and sing the room.
Right. They're Italians. They got Delta. They're making some limoncello, and that's how I like to look at it. You know, the life that we live, we have a choice. We can enjoy it or we can fear it. And I lived such a long time fearfully that I don't have any desire to live that way anymore. So I choose to think of what is good and what has been good and what can be good. And that's how I'm able to remain more level-headed and not engage in the in all the stuff that social media wants me to engage in.
Yes. So what led you there? Because here's the thing. I don't take you for the... You're not the type of person who is, like, so far up in the clouds that you don't recognize what's happening around
right.
you. Because I feel like there's this... misconception that people who are genuinely positive and focus on good are simply ignoring mm-hmm. the bad. What do you have to say to those people?
I'm military, girl. I'm military. I was trained for this shit. You know?
Right? You know how we do.
I mean, I literally normally don't buy canned foods, but last week I went and bought a pantry full of canned foods. I'm preparing myself to have to be quarantined, and I have like a deck of cards, and I have some amazing, you know, I have a great dog and a great partner that we are able to hang out here and play here and live here and work here, and it's all good. This is how my life is now. I'm prepared. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go out and like eat out and go shopping. I'm prepared now. Like I got a bunch of canned food just in case the electricity goes out, because Lord only knows what's going to happen.
Right. So just moments before we started recording, the Bay Area News released, an alert of some sort. They were on the news. My friend posted it on Facebook that the several counties in the Bay Area, Alameda, Contra Costa, San Francisco, Marin, and a couple of others, I think it was like four counties, the mayors were in talks with each other about actually implementing a shelter in place starting at midnight for all counties.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, shelter in place sounds so much more comfortable than martial law does, but
yeah,
it feels very much the same. So it just made me kind of like, I have feelings, I have thoughts, you know what I mean? Like, wow,
right
here, like you said, certain things. I invested in when I moved to Maryland and experienced Hurricanes Irene and what was the other big one? Sandy. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. That just changed my whole how do we handle it? And I like how you, I'm not stupid, you know, I might not normally eat like this, but if shit goes down, I got what mm-hmm. I need.
Indeed, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, down where I live at, it's not really a big deal yet, but it's become a big deal. People going out and buying toilet paper like they forgot that washcloths exist. Like, really?
The toilet paper phenomenon is just crazy to me.
Right. I mean, not a big deal to not have toilet paper. We have those alternative methods. It's all good.
I think it's just not necessarily but it is, I don't know. It's just this, for me, I didn't even consider toilet paper as something that I needed. I was more concerned with having enough food in the freezer and enough stuff in the, you know, so those were the things. Oh, and laundry soap, because I got two kids. So it was kind of like, okay, we're not going to be around here stinky. Let me wash everything that we can and make sure we got and making sure.
Exactly.
Things that was important. And I normally shop at Costco. I normally shop at these other places where we get larger amounts of things at one time. So going in there, it wasn't like, let me just spend $5,000 real quick to get everything I need. But
Right.
But it's just been really interesting to watch how people are processing it. And I have to say that I have continued to see such positive messaging from you through the process. And that's what I really wanted to, like, you know, give you a big hug and say thanks for, because, you know, folks are out here dealing with anxiety, PTSD, all these issues that aren't even related to COVID-19. So now that this has come about, this is doing nothing but exacerbating some underlying conditions and issues that people are having. And it always helps to have somebody who is, you know, level-headed, who can say, I understand that you're fearful, so let me give you a tool to help you get through that. You know?
Right. Well, I learned something a while ago, Leisha, and it was said to me, be a light amongst the darkness. And right now, all the fear and all the survival mode that everybody is, well, not everybody, but a large amount of people are in, I have to be brave enough. I mean, that's what light workers are here to do. We are here to shine light and be that little sparkle, a glimmer of hope, the silver lining, because we didn't get here, you know, just because. We got here because we worked our asses off and we had been dealt a life path that has not exactly been so shiny. It was a road. And you learn through those hardships how to function and how to make flowers out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, how to turn a really bad situation into something great. And you learn that through life experiences. And so what I understand is that the light workers around the world are being that glimmer of hope, reminding people how they can behave, reminding people how they can get back to center, because that's the only way to really have any clarity, is to have some sort of a meditation process.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Definitely doing that and taking my self-care baths every night. It just is so important to have quiet space. And I think even when you're not, if you're not somebody who is familiar with meditating and you aren't comfortable yet, quiet time, quiet space, I think is really the start of it. And it's something that you don't have to overthink. Because I think a lot of people, they hear meditation and they think about whatever triggers, you know, whatever messaging they've been given over the course of their life about meditation and what that looks like and what it means. And, you know, there's certain triggers. So if that is not something that you're comfortable with actually saying, then there was one thing that started for me years ago. And it's quiet time. And that was the beginning of what evolved into true meditation for me. And it's legitimately my understanding that too much noise isn't good for me. Like, literally, there was one day I woke up and I was like, the TV is bothering me. I put on music. The music is bothering me. talking to a friend. I didn't want to use words. There was this moment of revelation that I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to read a book. I'm not going to listen to music. I'm going to, and if I'm not sitting, I'm going to wash the dishes without any extra background noise. Do the laundry without background noise. And it became this regular practice where I was like doing these things and moving through my day, where I had a period right. of time through that day where there was silence. There was nothing else happening. And sometimes my mind would wander and I'd think heavily on certain things. But over the years, it turned into this space where I'm not thinking of anything. I'm just enjoying the silence. And then when the noise comes back on, I'm better equipped and I'm not as aggy, you know?
There you go. There you go.
So, yeah, I think that was where it started for me. And then it became a more intentional, I'm going to sit and say that this is my meditation practice and center myself and spend right. a certain number of minutes in silence with my eyes closed and just thanking God for being alive and in this body
yes.
and in this skin, and understanding that even when things hurt and don't function the way you want it to, it's still all good.
Yep. It's very true. Meditation brings so much peace to you. And listen, 2 years ago, I still wasn't really meditating. I think I meditated maybe 15 times in my whole life. And then now I'm to the point to where I meditate every day, sometimes several times a day, because I crave that centered area. I crave the quiet in my mind. And with life being so busy, I mean, there's so much stuff going on and there's so many things trying to tell me more things to think about. And I just want to not think for just a little bit. And that's yes. what meditation, that's what meditation does for me. It just like helps me turn it all off for just a little bit. And it helps me figure out how to function better and feel better in my day.
It becomes this moment of thankfulness and prayer for me. Mm-hmm. Because there's times when I sit and I'm praying actively and petitioning God for certain things, but then when I'm in that meditative state, it's just, I'm just thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you is the mantra over and over and over again. It's like grateful, thankful for being in this space, because Lord knows, like, I could be in a different space and time and
yeah.
in a different condition. So when that meditative, that quiet space comes and it happens, it's just like I remember back to when I was a kid and reading the Psalms and learning them, and scripture comes to mind, and then all the good things, like it settles me. It really, really does. And I can't,
right.
you know, I can't speak on it enough when I talk to people who are dealing with stress and trauma and everything. Like, when you don't, like, this is literally...
Well, meditation sounds scary, though. That's why, is because it sounds scary, because people, the inside of people's mind is freaking scary when you start
it. It's dark in there, Samantha.
And so if we could just maybe reword it to something like, have you sat in quiet today? You know,
yes,
we
don't have right.
to, you know, can we reword it so it doesn't sound so, oh, scary.
I like timeout, because when I start to feel it aggy, I'm like, I'm putting myself in timeout, and the kids are like, oh yeah, she's going in her room, she's going to close the door. Don't,
right.
don't knock on the door.
Don't do it.
She's going to get time out. But yeah, it mm-hmm. does. It feels scary for people. And a lot of that is programming. And I could do a whole podcast on that alone, specifically mm-hmm. as somebody who has grown up in the Christian Baptist church. There are things that are attached to concepts and words and minds and that have an effect on you, whether or not you feel like this is something you should participate in or not. But, you know, intention matters.
Yep.
Intention really, really does matter when you are
yes, it does.
In this space. So it's just been really good to see the evolution happen for me, because, you know, dealing with physical injuries and battling the mind of a person who it was really active at one point, and then active on the inside, and then physically unable to be as active as I wanted to be. It took a toll on me for many, many years. And then some days I still struggle. Like, my knee gave out on me in Costco the other day while I was buying toilet paper, you know, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, I forgot that you still are not 100% because you've had so many great days that when that bad one happens, you're like, oh crap, you're still there. Okay.
Yeah.
And it just is that like little gentle reminder that you're still human. You're not Superwoman. Superwoman is a character.
Well, Superwoman, you are in spirit, of course, but we have to remember that we did come to live the human experience, and there happens to be not as many options as we wish they were.
Absolutely. That is true. Yeah. Wow.
That's where that mindset comes in, because then we can help ourselves like heal faster when we get into that positive mindset, and then we start sending healing intentions to ourselves and others, and then we heal faster just from our thoughts alone, because we know we're healing faster. It's kind of fun.
It is. It really is. Because it's that supernatural thing that everybody, you know, looks at and talks about, but until they...
It's the placebo effect.
Yes, yes. So when it starts to happen and you're like, oh my goodness, I literally just, I asked for it. And thank you, God. Like, yes, the relief is here. You know, there was, you know, then also understanding and knowing that as the human experience is what it is, you don't do anything in particular. You know, it quote unquote deserve anything like that to happen, but it happens, and then you're like, okay, praise break. Oop, oop. Yeah. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. We could talk forever and ever, but you know, the listeners only have a certain mind time span.
Right.
Where they would listen to folks, but I definitely want to have you on again. We will come back and talk more about so many other things, because I know you and I know there's other stuff.
Oh, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
There's other stuff to dig into. But thank you so much, Samantha Elizabeth, for joining me today. I really hope the listeners had as much fun listening to you as I had talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been amazing.
You're welcome. Do you have any last words you want to share with those who are listening today?
Yeah. Peace and blessings to each and every one of you. And I know that my life reflects exactly what your life is.
That was sweet. I like that. Just like Samantha Elizabeth always does. That was a good word. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been The Mindful Chef with Chef Leisha Barnett and Samantha Elizabeth. I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you for joining me.
Take care.
Have a good day.
See ya.
Bye.
Peace.